Good morning, everybody. I'm Sumit Sharma. I'm a PhD student at Texas Tech University, and for my today's talk, my advisors, Dr. Nitya Rajan and my Dr. Stephen Maas, are my co-authors. So starting with a little bit of background, as the water level in Ogallala Aquifer is declining, areas like Texas High Plains, which rely on Ogallala Aquifer largely for irrigation of their crops, are going from irrigated cropping systems to dryland cropping systems, and farmers are also exploring other options, more water efficient options. So this graph I obtained from National Agriculture Statistic Service CropScape website shows that in in Texas High Plains, these red dots represent the cotton farming areas, and you can see that it's quite intensive in this region. So with Ogallala Aquifer's water table declining, farmers are exploring other more water-efficient options, one of which is Old World Bluestem variety WWB DAW, native to India, produces high biomass, dry matter ranging from 1 to 2 tons per acre under dryland management to up to 8 tons per acre under irrigated management. So we know that when you shift from one vegetation to other, it can modify your carbon and energy dynamics. So it's important for us to understand the carbon and energy dynamics of this grass in case if it's replacing cotton farming in this region. With this, the objective of our study is to investigate the seasonal dynamics of photosynthesis, ecosystem respiration, and evapotranspiration of the Old World Bluestem using eddy covariance flux towers in the Southern High Plains. This is our study site located in Lockney, Floyd County, Texas. It's about 78 acres. Under dryland management, the major soil type is Pullman clay loam, and slope ranges from 0 to 1%. So for carbon dynamics, we study canopy photosynthesis, and of course there are different methods to study canopy photosynthesis. For example, LICO 6400, where you measure uptake of carbon dioxide at leaf level, or satellite-based sun-induced fluorescence method, which is relatively new, or you can measure fluxes of stable carbon isotopes. However, eddy covariance measurements of carbon dioxide exchange between an ecosystem and the atmosphere are direct, and they represent the net difference between uptake of carbon by plants through photosynthesis or losses by the ecosystem through respiration. So what is eddy covariance method? The momentum of the wind flowing over surface is broken by the surface roughness and creates eddies. We measure carbon dioxide and water molecules. We measure carbon dioxide and water molecules in these eddies. And since we are measuring vertical flux, we are interested in vertical component of the wind velocity vector. So we take this vertical component of the wind velocity vector, multiply it with the simultaneous carbon dioxide or water vapor concentration, average it over time. Since we are multiplying the deviation in the mean over time, this is called eddy covariance method. We use two main instruments for eddy covariance measurements, a sonic anemometer to measure wind speed and wind temperature, and infrared gas analyzer to measure concentration of water vapors and carbon dioxide in the eddies. So since eddy covariance measurements give us the net difference between carbon uptake and carbon release, it essentially gives us the net ecosystem exchange measurements, which is the difference between carbon assimilated by plants through photosynthesis and released through plant respiration and soil respiration. So also we know that plants do not perform photosynthesis during nighttime. So nighttime net ecosystem exchange represents ecosystem respiration. We use relationship of this nighttime ecosystem respiration with nighttime temperature to develop empirical function. This empirical function is further used to calculate the daytime ecosystem respiration, which is added to daytime net ecosystem exchange to find gross primary product or gross photosynthesis. Similarly, we measure the evapotranspiration flux or latent heat of flux, latent heat of evapotranspiration flux, and sensible heat. Both these latent heat and sensible heat flux we measure in watts per meter square, but evapotranspiration we then convert into millimeter per 30 minute, and we can integrate on different temporal scales. So in addition to these fluxes, we measure air temperature, relative humidity, soil heat flux, photosynthetically active radiation, soil irradiance, soil moisture, soil temperature, and rainfall. So these instruments are fast response instruments. They take 10 measurements per second. So this gives me a large amount of data. To analyze this data, I use this software called EDIPRO. It's a product of Likert Biosciences, and it gives me half hourly fluxes. It computes these fluxes for me. During events of rainfall, snowfall, the functioning of our instruments is interfered, and sometimes we lose data during these events. So to fill those gaps, we perform regression-based gap filling. And the final data we have is half-hourly fluxes, which we integrate to daily scale, to seasonal, and then finally to annual scale. For statistical analysis, we are using sigma plot. Coming on to my results, and before I explain my results, I want to tell you that as per sign convention, when the system is uptaking carbon, it's negative. The flux is negative. And when it is releasing carbon, it is positive. It holds true for water vapor flux and sensible heat flux. So my x-axis here is day of the year, starting from first day to 365. And my y-axis here is net ecosystem exchange in grams carbon per meter square per day. So I have data from 2013, 2014, and 2015 is still in progress. As you can see, that the trend is that, and the typical growing season for this grass roughly ranges from May to October, but it can vary a little bit by a few days. But so during rest of the year is dormant. So you do not see much, not significant things happening during the dormant season, but as the season progresses, grass starts growing, puts more leaf area, performs more photosynthesis, you see negative flux. And the trend continues. And this, and each year we have received rainfall more than the previous year, and we have seen the variation in the fluxes, this pulse of negative net ecosystem exchange depending upon the rainfall. These positive fluxes in 2015, we are attributing it to the rainfall because we have received much higher rainfall than previous 2 years this year. Similarly, the gross photosynthesis follows the similar trend, just like net ecosystem exchange. It's just the addition of daytime ecosystem respiration to the net ecosystem exchange, which increases its magnitude. It's also measured in grams carbon per meter square per day. So ecosystem respiration, you see these peaks after these rainfall events, and the area under the curve keeps on increasing from 2013 to 2014 and finally to 2015 so far. And the difference we have seen is the rainfall, and in the next slide we see that the cumulative rainfall for the first graph shows you the cumulative respiration, ecosystem respiration, and the second graph is cumulative rainfall for these 3 years. And as you can see, cumulative rainfall is increasing, so does the cumulative respiration, and it varies with the magnitude of rainfall. In 2013, we received minimum amount of rainfall, and ecosystem respiration was low. And in 2015, we have received 27 inches by September, but we have actually received 31 inches by October. And ecosystem has respired. In September itself, it has surpassed annual ecosystem for 2014 and 2013. In 2015 itself. So I wanted to see how ecosystem is varying with the temperature. So I plotted this regression of daily ecosystem against the average daily soil temperature. So I have seen that it's sensitive to temperature. Respiration is sensitive to temperature. It was most sensitive in 2014, and so far 2015 and 2013 they are 2.6, and maximum sensitivity we see in 2014. Variability was explained by soil temperature, 73% in 2013, 71% 2014, and 80% in 2015. Evapotranspiration follows a similar trend like other graphs, but it's positive. And you see the area under the curve is increasing as you progress, and the cumulative evapotranspiration increases as we proceed through the years. So our hypothesis is that as the field receives more rainfall, it has more water to lose. So Bowman ratio, your system loses energy as sensible heat or as in the form of water vapor in latent heat of evapotranspiration. So which one dominates? The Bowman ratio is good source to tell you, which is the ratio of sensible heat to latent heat of evapotranspiration. I plotted against the day of the year, and you see sensible heat dominates during the dormant season, but as the season grows, somewhere in the season, latent heat is dominating for energy fluxes. And for 2014, the period for which latent heat dominates increases, and for 2015, it's maximum when latent heat is dominating for the Bowman ratio. So I plotted this Bowman ratio against the average daily soil moisture content, and that's volumetric soil moisture content. And I've seen that as the soil moisture increases, your latent heat of evapotranspiration is the dominant energy flux from your system. So finally, from my results I have so far, I have seen that as the rain increases, your gross photosynthesis, your ecosystem respiration, net ecosystem exchange, and cumulative evapotranspiration, they all increases. And in summary, from the results we have so far and the analysis we have done so far, we have concluded that the interannual dynamics of photosynthesis, respiration, and evapotranspiration depended on environmental factors. The site acted as carbon sink under below average, average, and above average rainfall conditions for this area. The annual carbon uptake ranged from 300 to 320 grams carbon per meter square, which may vary because 320 is for 2015, and I still have 3 months left to analyze the results. And the Bowman ratio shows us that it depends upon soil moisture how the system is going to lose the energy. And with that, I would like to thank my committee members, my student workers, and funding agencies. Thank you.
Any questions? Dan?
Grass has a pretty strong sink for carbon. How are they managed? Are these grazed?
No grazing. No. No, hay, no. He harvested seeds in 2014. That's it. And he harvested just a spike. That's it.
Another question?
Stomata opening? For photosynthesis analysis, if I understand your question correctly, we will look the relationship of net ecosystem or gross photosynthesis with the photosynthetically active radiation, which is one of the substrate for photosynthesis. So we will see how it varied with sunlight we received for that year. If I understood your question. But no molecular level or biological studies were done on this in this field.
Any
That was thanks, Emmett.